In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. The text for our consideration today is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, 1 through 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." The fullness of Revelation about to be accomplished. In our setting, John is taken up into heaven. Throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New, there's several occurrences where people are translated into the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm that man, Adam, originally had access to but lost it through the fall. They're captured and they're translated up into this realm. So was with John. We know of the Old Testament that Ezekiel and Daniel and those were given these visions, and Isaiah as well. And also Paul, the Apostle Paul, was caught up to the third heaven. In fact, so great of revelations, I imagine that's why Paul is accredited for writing almost two-thirds of the New Testament text, because of the revelations to the fullness of the Word of God that was shown to him there. But because of that great wisdom that was given to him, God also allowed a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. Paul says that I may not be exalted in my pride. An incredible thing. But John is caught up before this throne, and he's showing us a picture. I want to frame it because, again, let me point out that the way we worship and the elements of our worship are 3,500 years old. How to worship God was revealed by God to Moses when they had come out of Egypt. When Moses was ascended to the mountain, God gave him a command to build a tabernacle. And he says to build it according to what you see here in heaven. Moses went down and he built that place of worship, that tent of meeting. And there, the law that Moses received was read daily in the presence of the people of Israel that they might learn the ways of the Lord. As Israel scattered into rest of the tribal areas that God had allotted to them, they couldn't always return to the tent of meeting or to the temple where the sacrifices took place. So they constructed synagogues in order that daily they might hear the reading of God's, the lectionary reading of God's word. And they had a liturgical calendar like we did. And God blessed that reading of that scripture on a daily basis. In fact, so accurate was that lectionary reading on a calendar-wise, the very day that Jesus walked in to the synagogue at Nazareth and was handed to him the scroll of Isaiah, and he read from that very passage, "The Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news." And after he read that text from Isaiah, he announced to the congregation, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What an incredible thing that God continued to minister and administer his word right down to the very day that the one who that Isaiah text was speaking about was present in the synagogue. That's impressive. That same power working, God is with us today, doing the very same things to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Our worship, again, begins with the first part, the reading of the scripture. And the exposition of that scripture, the preaching of that scripture, of both law and gospel. The preaching of the law that the Holy Spirit might convict us of sin. The conviction of sin is not just for the world. It is also for the people of God. Because the scripture says, judgment begins at the house of God. He is cleaning you up and sanctifying your lives through the word, that you might be faithful witnesses to a fallen world. Then we come to what would be known as the tent of meeting, or where the sacrifices took place. The blood was shed for the remission of sin for the children and the nation of Israel. No longer do we have to offer bulls and goats. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, which our text shows to us today, who is now standing before the throne. He laid down his life once and for all. No more sacrifices are needed. But in the total liturgy of our church, what we're doing here, we celebrate these feasts of the victory of our God. That's exactly what we do here every time we come in to worship. It's a phenomenal thing. The book of Revelation pulls back the veil a little bit into that spiritual realm for us. Let's plumb a couple of the things that our eyes, even as our reading from Acts, where Paul, after Ananias laid hands on him, it says something like scales had fallen from his eyes. You see, the power of the gospel takes down these scales that fallen Adam's race has. They can't see the things of God. The things of God are foolishness to them. They cannot discern them because they are spiritually discerned. But those scales fell off Saul's eyes, and he became the great apostle to the Gentiles. Again, writing 2/3 of the New Testament text. So we're caught up before this throne. We're here today doing that very thing. Know today that God is sitting on his throne. When I come up to this altar, I am bowing to the presence through that spiritual veil of the presence of our Heavenly Father and of the Christ at his right hand. The angels are all around, the four living creatures, and the elders that God has selected to be in the very throne room of God with him. John says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. That word in the Greek is biblios, a Bible, books, in his right hand. And inside it was written back and forth on both sides, and it was sealed with seven seals. Seven is the number of completeness and perfection. When this revelation that is written in this book is complete, the restoration of all things from the time of the fall, the rebellion of the celestial host, the fall of man, God will completely restore all things. This book, as it is unveiled, one seal at a time, the judgment of God is going forth into the world. He's wrapping up time. And when it is complete, it will be completely finished. The redemption and the restoration of creation will have been accomplished. You'll notice the scroll was in his right hand of him who sat on the throne. The right hand is often that place of judgment and righteousness and goodness. The left is often, as Ecclesiastes 10:2 says, that the righteous hearts incline to the right, but the hearts of the fools to the left. The right hand of God, that's a spiritual condition in which he created us in, to do what is right and righteous and holy. To the left is disorientation and corruption. When John saw this sitting on the throne, he also saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look at it. You'll notice, again, in the creation of the world, there is a delineation of heaven, earth, and under the earth. Those are all places where the living creatures, angels and humans, occupy. Three segments. That is the reality. That is the objective truth of this world created, heaven and earth. Spiritual realms. In the heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. When John saw this declaration that there was nobody worthy to open the book, John says, "I wept much." Because no one was found worthy to open that scroll or to read it. And as he sat there and wept, one of the saints, one of the elders, came alongside him. I love that concept of coming alongside each other to strengthen each other when we have a moment of weakness and are overcome with the reality exactly how sinful, how broken creation is because of the rebellion of the angels and the fall of man. We don't really get the picture. But he says, "But one of the elders came alongside and said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed and opened the scroll and loosed its seven seals.'" And why is he worthy? Because he's portrayed as in the midst of the throne. You got the throne of God and he's sitting there reigning and ruling. You have the four living creatures and all of the saints gathered around him. And in between them and that space approaching the throne is one that looks like a lamb slain. That's where we get the beautiful picture. We don't have one today, but the lamb and the blood coming out of the side and the victory of the cross portrayed as this victorious lamb. And he comes up because he completed that victory. Through it, his blood, he paid for the redemption of the world. That's the power of the gospel. When the gospel goes forth into all the world, it has the power to redeem and return mankind back to the right relationship with God in true righteousness and holiness. But because man has a free will, when that gospel goes forth, it can be rejected. But the effectiveness of this gospel, as the gospel went forth to proclaim the feast of the victory of our God, to restore us back to him. Our text says that this word went forth into all the nations, all the tongues, all the tribes. There was nowhere that the gospel did not have a harvest of souls that would dwell with God eternally. It's an effective gospel. And this is the very thing that says, "You are worthy to open this book." But again, as Jesus begins to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, showing his physical lineage, when he begins to open this scroll, the last 3.5 years of human history are going to be revealed. Judgments coming against those. Because the gospel was effective, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people. There was nowhere the gospel did not make a harvest. But because it was also rejected, God's judgment is going to come. The day of salvation will have an end. And as Jesus begins to unfold these seals, the time of time will eventually be no more. And so this book that is being opened here, when it is done and all seven seals are completely and completed, heaven and earth are going to flee out of the presence of God. And all are going to be gathered to him. And there we are going to read of other books being opened. Listen carefully. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Did you note that? Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were all judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is an objective truth. This event is coming at the end of the age. But we will know that God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. That's why the gospel is proclaimed. And that's why those who have been redeemed by the gospel in our text today are standing before the throne. In the book of Revelation, it says it is like a myriad, is it myriads and myriads of angels that were there. So is a sea of glass of those who have been redeemed out of every nation, tribe, and tongue. When that day of judgment comes, saints, you have nothing to worry about. God in his grace has provided for your atonement. He has put the white garment that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb on you. And you can stand before his holy presence without spot or blemish and full of great joy. That's why when the Lamb began to open, it says all the elders and the four living creatures and everything in heaven and earth hit their knees and began to proclaim the glory of this redeeming God. Is a little of that glory in your hearts today? Because that's what that Easter season is all about. It is truly the feast of the victory of our God. Amen.